approaches to really find the best approach to calculate this effective source, and the most practical one for doing actual step force factor. So this also ties in with Sam's talk yesterday, in which he presented the results for Schwarzschild and Kerr, which is a nice verification of what we're doing as PhD for. Okay, so Ian has given a lot of the background. The puncture method, basically what we do is, at the level of the wave equation itself, we subtract away the singular part of the field, and we solve directly for a regular remainder. And there are some advantages to this. You don't have to deal with anything singular in the end in your codes. You're not subtracting two very large things away from each other when you're doing the regularization, so, and things like this. So there are quite a few advantages to doing it this way. And what you end up with is, as Ian said, you end up with a wave equation for a regularized field with an effective source on the right-hand side. And the effective source contains a part which is just the delta function that we usually have in the cell force for the retarded field, and then a part which is the singular field, the D'Alembertian of the singular field subtracted away from that. And provided you take this singular field to high enough order, you get a source which is smooth. And the smoothness of the source is determined purely by how high in order you go to in sigma, or in phi s. Okay, so I don't really need to go over this. This is just a background. So Ian and Steve originally did this in the THD coordinates, and they did it for circular geodesic motion in Schwarzschild as a first test case. The source they used, well, they used an expression for the singular field, which was enough to give them a continuous source. Okay, so C0. And this was actually more than was necessary in the initial case. A smoother source would give you better convergence to your code. Ideally, you want something exponentially convergent, but it's a lot more work to get the source more and more smooth, so you want to find a balance somewhere. So ideally, what you really want is a sufficiently smooth effective source that it's not the cause of any trouble in your code, and you want it for generic motion in Kerr. I should also say that Lior and Darren Goulburn also did a similar scheme, except in their case, they expanded the wave equation in M modes. So they solved for the field expanded in M modes. And the approximation they used to the cell force actually the effective source only corresponded to the leading order term in the singular field. So this was actually less than Steve Neen had done, but it was sufficient in their case, because you don't actually need to go as high in order as they did. It was sufficient to give the field, but not the cell force, so it wasn't differentiable. So to get the actual cell force and to improve the convergence, as Sam showed yesterday, you really need to go to higher order approximations of the singular field. Okay. So how do you go about calculating a singular field and the effective source from it? Well, the effective source is determined by the box of the singular field, as Ian said. The starting point for me was pretty much the same. It was this work by Roland and Eric, where you have the green function, the singular green function, and then phi s is just the integral of this green function over the world line of the particle. And because this green function only has support on the light cone and outside the light cone, this integral is actually finite. And I think in Eric's review, he showed that you can write it like this. And in terms of these functions u and v, which are in the green function, the Hadamard form, and then these advanced and retarded distances to the world line. Okay. Now, the good thing here is that if x is close enough to the world line, you can actually write u is 1 plus higher order terms that you neglect, and v is 0 plus higher order terms that you neglect. So all you have is 1 over r retarded plus 1 over r advanced. And now what Roland and Eric did in this nice paper was that they expanded r retarded and r advanced about this point, some arbitrary point between the two along the world line, in terms of the distance away from the world line, so the distance from x to the world line. And this is exactly the same expression I think Ian showed. I'm not sure, but I think it might be for phi s. We could check it anyway, but I think it looks similar. And basically, the important thing here is that you have phi s is written in terms of, well, there's these things s and r bar, which I think comes from Roland and Eric's paper, so I think it's the same as what Ian showed. But really, the key thing is the only thing here that depends on x are these sigma a bars, so the world function, the geodesic distance. Everything else here, are all these things have bars on them, which basically means that they're evaluated at the particle location. Okay, so you can really write phi s just in terms of sigma a. Okay. Now, as Ian mentioned, when you actually want to evaluate this for some particular spacetime, well, you need to calculate the world function. Okay. Unfortunately for me, I spent a whole PhD doing this, so it wasn't too hard. So this is really the key to finding the singular fields and therefore the effective source. So you expand sigma a bar about x bar in the coordinate distance from the world line, or of the field point from the world line. The problem, as Ian mentioned, is you get really horrible expressions. You have to deal with special cases for GR tensor and special. It's a mess, basically. You get really big expressions that are hard to simplify. So we really would like to delay this as long as possible. I can't say definitively that you can delay it as long as possible, but I'm trying to find some way to do it. Okay. So as I said, the most straightforward but messy but guaranteed to work approach is to do exactly as Ian was describing, which is you write down the coordinate expansion, and then you just take partial derivatives of the singular field to get something for the effective source, which is a big mess, but gives you the right answer. And as Ian said, you get these delicate cancellations near the world line. You get all sorts of problems, but you can deal with them. So you could work a bit harder, which is, I think, we've possibly both done. We'll see how it goes. But so you stay in the covariant approach for as long as possible. You calculate the Dalembertian covariantly, and then at the end try to substitute in the expression for the coordinate expansion of sigma. Okay, so this would be really nice because this leads to really nice expressions. But talking to Ian, I'm still not sure whether it really will work or not. So I'd like to have some input on this. So just to give an example of how this works in the coordinate approach, well, let's take the leading order approximation to the singular field, which is that it's 1 over s. 1 over s is the orthogonal geodesic distance to the world line. When we take the Dalembertian of that, well, we get this whole lot of things here. This first one here, well, everything here, so r bar and s are approximately of the same order. So this term here is order 1 over s cubed, so it diverges. And then we have other terms here. This one is exactly 1 over, well, more or less 1 over s cubed. These ones are not quite that. But what we can do is expand these quantities here, these higher derivatives of sigma, basically. Again, expand that about the point x bar. And what we find is that this one here becomes minus 1, and then a term involving Riemann tensors and sigmas. This one here is just 4, and then higher order terms that we neglect. And this one here actually is higher order already, so we neglect it. So we see that we have a 1 over s cubed term here. But fortunately, it exactly cancels the 1 over s cubed term here with this 1 and this 4 over here. They magically cancel. And what you end up with is something which is s to, well, you have a 5 on the bottom, 2 from this, and 2 more orders here. So sigma is, again, the same order as s. So that's 5 minus 4. It's s to the minus 1. If you get it, so by just taking the singular field being 1 over s, you get an effective source which diverges like s to the minus 1. Although, I think you could still get away with this if you do something like the m-mode expansion. Okay, so in more general, to just see how this carries through for more general cases, well, what we have is that phi s, as it was written in Roland and Eric's paper, basically has a 1 over s term, an order s term, and an order s squared term. Okay, and we'll see how that leads to. So the 1 over s term basically has a component that comes in at 1 over s cubed, one that comes in at s to the minus 1, order 1 and order s. Okay, and when you just take that, you're left with something. The bits here cancel, and you're left with a bit that's s to the minus 1. Okay, so we want to get rid of this s to the minus 1 bit. But what we do is we consider the next order in the singular field, which is this order s part. This now has a part at s to the minus 1. It also has a part at s to the 1 and higher order bits. Okay, and the great thing is that this part here exactly cancels this part here, and you get 0. So So the remainder is discontinuous. Well, it's continuous, but it has, sorry, it's not continuous at the world line, but it's not divergent at the world line. Okay? So you now have something that's not C0, but is not divergent at the same time. So then, to get to solve this problem, well, what you do is you go to one more order, and you consider this term. 2 minutes, okay. I'll have to hurry up. So you consider this term, now you get this part here, coming from this term, which actually turns out exactly cancels, again, this part from the s to minus 1 term. So you get, again, 0 here, and you get something that's purely of order s. So you can see how you would continue along these lines to get something smoother and smoother. You know, if you wanted something that's smooth at order s, well, you just include the next term, and you just continue along these lines. So this is how you would go to higher orders in answer to Lior's question from Ian earlier. And I did compute this term, but I haven't checked that it's right or anything. So the question, one question that I still haven't resolved is, you have this expression here, but we've actually truncated the higher order parts, the order s squared and higher order parts. Will this still give you the right cell force? I don't know. I'm interested to see what happens, but I'm not sure either way. Another thing that this would suggest is maybe you could subtract away directly, because we really identified the singular parts. We could subtract them away covariantly, and then, but not do the expansion. So we subtract away the terms in the expansion, but we don't do the expansion. Okay, so some quick results, because I'm almost out of time. The singular field for Schwarzschild and the effective source for Schwarzschild, this was the case of a circular orbit at 10m, I think. This looks hopefully the same as Ian's plot, but we'll have to check if they're actually the same. And then this was a similar case, a circular orbit in Kerr. So this is the singular field and the effective source. And this is basically what Sam used in his M-mode scheme to actually calculate the self-force for a scalar field in Kerr. So it does work. It gives the right answer. OK, very quickly, I'll just mention that this does carry through to the gravitational case, as far as I can see. It's basically just completely analogous, except you have a couple more indices. So you have the green function has the exact same type of structure. It has a bit on the light cone and a bit outside the light cone. And given this green function, you can write down the singular field in this form. And actually, what you get out to the first order anyway is just something which has the same singular field that comes from the scalar case, and then these two factors of the four velocity parallel transported to the location of the field. So the only extra thing, at this order at least, is that we need to calculate this guy here. And this is quite doable. Okay, in fact, I did try to do it, but I haven't checked if it's right. How am I doing on time? I had a few more things I wanted to say, but I'm not sure if I'm going to get to them. I'll very quickly skip through a couple of applications. So I had this expression. I was trying to really see if it was right, if it works, and these sorts of things. So the only way to do that is to test it. So one way was I gave Sam the singular field, and we worked on getting the right source from that. And he ran it in his code, and to my relief, it gave the right answer. Okay, I won't say any more than that. A second approach is with Carlos and Priscilla, and also Jose Luis Carmelo, who's at my institute. So we were talking a bit, and we were seeing if we could really use their spectral code, but plug in this effective source. So this has the prospect of being very efficient. And what we find as well, I can very quickly show that, the singular field, this is the singular field outside the world tube. Here's our world tube. And inside the world tube, they don't agree. But outside the world tube, the retarded field and singular field agree. So that looks good. And maybe I won't bother with the last one, actually. I'll say that also I'm trying to talk to Peter and people like this about actually implementing this in 3+1. I was going to show some more. Oh, I won't bother showing this. OK, conclusions. We did compute the singular field and the effective source from a coordinate expansion. Ideally, I'd like to try and keep it a covariant one, but it might not be possible. But even in the coordinate calculation, you can get the generic orbits and Kerr out, I think. This was stuff I was going to talk about, but I didn't. I'll say a higher order singular field will give a smoother source. gravitational case to be a very quick, straightforward extension. And one last thing is that the same singular field is what Eric and Roland used to derive the regularization parameters for the mode sum regularization scheme. So you could, in principle, do these higher order regularization terms for more generic cases than they did. And I'll leave it there. Thanks.